Just shift the gear. We're going to go into what repentance is and how it happens. And we'll do the offering, we'll do that later. I know we got a lot of things happening right now, but I got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost right now. Got to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. The Lord allowed me to do a series for the next several weeks on the keys to the kingdom. Keys give us access to enter into something. Without keys, we can't even enter into a door. And we have on our foyer, our motto, we call it, our vision is building people up to advance the kingdom. But the Lord gave me instruction that 90% of this church didn't know what the kingdom is about. How can you advance if you don't even understand the kingdom? One of the first keys to a kingdom, you're going to see it in God's word, is repentance. Because Jesus said, if you can't even be born again, you can't even see the kingdom. If a man is not born again, he can't even enter into it. So, Father, I ask you to help me dial into this word today, this morning, Lord. I ask you to give me, Lord, the power and authority of the Holy Ghost to speak this word. This word is like downloaded into my spirit. Because without repentance, you can't even get into the kingdom of God. If Adam couldn't repent and was escorted out the kingdom, how could you think you could get in without repenting? Father, I ask you to speak into the word and put some lights on dim or whatever you got to do, but just in the atmosphere. We'll do the offering. We'll do other things at the end. We'll just go flip the service. Lord, today in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word today, the word repentance. I thank you for what was going to happen today. I thank you for your spirit. But I'll tell you what true repentance is and what true repentance is not. I thank you for the word today in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. You can sit right here on the floor tonight. That's okay. Sit on the floor. It doesn't matter. Just sit on the floor. You want to sit here, sit in your thing? It's okay. There's the word kingdom. It's used 335 times in the Word of God. If something is used 335 times, I think there's something ought to be know about that. If you were mentioned once or twice, I would say yes. But for 335 times, I would say something's up. And when I was doing a study on this, I said there the word kingdom is this. It's territory occupied or ruled by a king or a queen. It's territory that is occupied. It's a spiritual realm of authority, and it's a sphere of independence and action and control. It's a kingdom. You see, whoever is king rules that kingdom. Now, because of the fall of man, there are at least five kingdoms in this world. There's the kingdom of God, and there's also the kingdom of Satan. There's the kingdom of light is a kingdom of darkness. You are rescued out of darkness. You are rescued from a set. You are rescued from darkness and transformed into his marvelous light. You swapped out kingdoms when you became born again. And there's the kingdom of government. And there's the kingdom of religion. And there's also the kingdom that we have today is self. Whoever sits on the throne is king. Whoever sits on the throne of your heart is king. In Genesis chapter 1, you're going to understand what the garden and what the kingdom of God, how it was supposed to operate. But man through sin tarnished the image of that kingdom. Jesus had to go back. Jesus had to come down the earth on the cross to fulfill what the first Adam forsaken. Jesus said, for the Son of Man came to seek and save. That's what was lost. He wasn't talking about man. He was talking about the kingdom that was lost. The authority. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says this. Then God said, let us make man. Let us make human beings in our own image and to be like us. They will reign. There's a word. They will reign. Kingly authority of the highest level. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals of the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings, man, in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, both male and female. He had created them. Verse 28 says, this is how the kingdom begins to operate now. And he says this. He said, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Now we know the kingdom of God is about multiplication. He said, multiply. Fill the earth and govern over it, or fill the earth and subdue it. Conquer it, have dominion over it, and take authority over it. That's what he's telling them. I'm giving you delegated authority. And I'm going to give you these words, and you're going to take over. Listen, you don't have to get to heaven to take over something. You can have heaven here on earth now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in earth and as in heaven. Reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and all the above. And then he said in verse 20, then God said, look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for food. And I've given you every green plant for food and for all the wild animals, the birds of the sky and the small animals that scurry around the ground. Everything that life has, I give to you. And this is what happened. And God looked over all the earth that he made man, and he saw that it was good. And that evening passes, and that morning came, and it marked the sixth day. Well, when I look and I read this, he said the kingdom was about authority. You see, authority is power to delegate, it's power to control, or it's power to do what was asked to do. And he said here, why is authority so important? If authority is important because authority is always delegated. You see, God's kingdom is set up where it is released. It is released through authority. You see, Adam was told the name. You got to read further in the scripture. Adam was told to name things, name this. He was told to exercise his authority. You see, today, many believers in their life, when they see no change, it's probably because they don't exercise authority with their mouth over things. And therefore, there is no little a little change about. Same old, same old, same old going on. Had you spoken over it? Have you took authority over it? That was God's plan, that man would have dominion and that you would have the same dominion. Christ came back to restore the dominion that Adam lost. The word says it's dominion. Dominion to take charge of something, to rule or reign. He said dominion is power through legal authority. When somebody says, I've given it to you, go do it. You're not out of God, you're in the will of God. Go do it. You see, I've learned something about God's plan for you. See, God's plan for you, and you've got to understand, is that you would rule and reign in this life. Not the life to come, but in this life. Got seven amens. You turn some light. I think I'm talking to an audience in darkness right now. Turn some light on, please, Jesus. Yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you. I'm looking around going, is anybody here? Listen. He wants you to reign, to exercise highest power in you. Philippians 2:9 down the screen says, For God exalted him, Jesus, and exalted him to the highest place and given him the name that is above all names. That's kingly authority. And the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead now dwells inside of you. Somebody better get that. Amen. Well, thank you, Jesus. Pastor, you're a little nuts. I am. Because you know why? We got to realize that God, you want to have victory now. Well, I'm going to get the victory when I get to heaven. Listen. The devil don't care if you go to heaven. He ain't going to be there. Just don't get the kingdom now inside of you. You're a threat to him. And how we operate is people know those keys. We don't know how the system started and the fall, why men had to repent. You see, God's plan for your life is that you would rule and reign in this life. God's plan for you, God's plan for you is that you would reign over your circumstances. What? That you would reign over your circumstances. That you would be the head and not the tail. You would be on top and not on the bottom. I think that's ruling and reigning. His plan for you is that you would reign over a poverty spirit. Okay, two people said who? God said you can rule over, reign over a poverty spirit. I break the spirit of everything free in St. Bernard. Free. Free for this and free for that. Come to a crawfish ball and take 10 plates home. What the? No, my goodness. We have a poverty mentality. We have a poverty mentality. Don't shut me down. We have a poverty mentality. Yet people can spend $700 to a wrestling match in an auditorium tonight. You give the church $5. You're in the wrong kingdom. Your heart's in the wrong kingdom. Your heart's in the wrong kingdom. Pay $2,000 for a game. Give the church 5 cents and say, bless God. You in the wrong kingdom. Somebody's got your heart. It's called self. Oh, this is going. Oh, here we go. All right, come on. I get crazy. I don't want to get crazy. You see, I see this. And look at in the garden, the responsibility. Genesis 2. And the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden. Here he is. Now we got a kingdom in the garden, the kingdom. Now we have a kingdom where we live at. Kingdom of a heart, the garden of your heart. Here's a place. And he watch over it. Yeah, we have to be good stewards of what God gave us. He said, watch over it. Take care of it. I've given you this. Be a good steward of it. He said, but the Lord warned him, Adam, you may freely eat of the fruit of every tree in the garden except the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And if you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. The enemy will take a word and twist it. He said, you are sure to die. Remember that. There's principles. See, in God's kingdom, there are principles. If you do this, then this will happen. If you don't do this, trust me, this will not happen. The principle overweighs how you feel. It overweighs what you think and feel. And he says this. Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds and all the sky. And he brought them to the man to see what he could call them. And the man chose to name each one of them, exercised authority. He said, this is a cow, you that, you a dirt. And as he spoke it, it was named. He exercised his authority. God wants you to exercise authority with your mouth and speak over things. He says, he gave name to all the livestock, to all the birds of the sky, to all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. And he was told to exercise authority and take dominion over it. And the future of the earth was placed upon their dominion. But Adam blew it. Man blew it. So how now comes the key to repentance to get man back into reconciliation with God again? Here's how the first key operates, the key of repentance. Jesus has said it himself in John chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. And it's the red letter words is written to Jesus. It's all in red. It's written by him. And there was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. But after dark one evening, he came to speak to Jesus. He came at night, because he didn't want everybody to see what who he was in the day. So he came to Jesus in the dark. He came at Jesus at night to be more private. And he said, Rabbi, he said, we know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evident that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Here's a key. I tell you the truth this day. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. If you're not born again, you won't even see the kingdom. What do you mean? Nicodemus said, how can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And he replied, I assure you, no one can what? Enter the kingdom of God. See, and now enter. Enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and of spirit. Whew. Jesus is giving a discussion here. And he's telling Nicodemus, unless a man has been born again, unless a man has come to himself, and come to the place of repentance, he can't even see the kingdom, nor even enter in it. The Bible says, unless a man has been born again, the word is called regeneration, regenerate. To regenerate something is to recreate or to transform something into something new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed. Like I said last week, you can't say you're the new you if you still look like the old you. If you're claiming to be a new you, then why do I see the old you? Something happened. You didn't get a regeneration. Something didn't click. He says a man be born again. He says regeneration is necessary. Why? Because we are all sinners, and we were once all sinners, we were incapable of obeying and pleasing God. When I was a sinner, I was incapable of obeying and pleasing God because it was about me. The king of self was evident. What's in it for me? How can I get something for me? You see, I had a kingdom. It was a me. Me-itis. Me. That's today. Well, I want to do something, but like, what's in it for me if I do it, if I don't? You see? There's a king here. You don't realize. There's a king on your heart. There's a king. It's called self. In the last days, people will be lovers of themselves. What you see in America today is the spirit, the kingdom of self. And where it says, mark this, Paul said, mark this day that people will be lovers of themselves. Selfie. Boom, bang, bang, bang. You see? And regeneration comes through people who repent of their sin and turn to God and trust Him to be Lord and Savior. Not just save me from sin or save me from hell, but no, become Lord. Where God rules, He's King. Where God rules, He is King. Does He have your heart? Does He have a piece of your heart today? Or just some of your heart? Everything I give to you, my everything. I'll give you everything, but not this. I'll give you everything and not this. No, I give you everything. I surrender all. Whew. That's repentance, when, Lord, I surrender all. I know who I am, a man in need of a Savior. I know I've fallen short, and, Lord, I repent. I repent of it. You see, the Word says when a man has been born again, something happens to him. He no longer conforms to the ways of this world. He's now transformed by the renewing of his mind. See, no longer, how you can tell something's going on with Pastor D, he's not the same person that he used to be. I see something different in him. He must have had an experience. Something had happened to him because he's not conforming. The things he used to do, he no longer does. The things that he once went to, he don't go there anymore. Why? A metamorphosis is taking place. Something's changing inside of me. What? It's the Christ in me coming out of me. Don't shout the devil. Listen, you can clap all you want. Come on. This is some stuff here. Because you know why? People got to understand this, that the kingdom of God is right inside of you. The kingdom is within you. You don't have to die and go to heaven to get the kingdom. The kingdom came here on earth. His name is Jesus. Woo! 2 Corinthians 7:10 says this, For godly sorrow produces repentance, which what? Leads into salvation. See, it was his loving, listen, it wasn't his wrath that led me to get saved that day 39 years ago. It was his loving kindness that caused me to repent. It was his loving kindness that he realized he died for me while I was yet a sinner. You see, it was that kindness that brought me to the cross, not his wrath, not his hammer. It was his loving kindness that produced this inside of me. You say, well, you see, repentance, I'm going to give you some many definitions of repentance. And one of them is this. Repentance is to change the way you think. When the prodigal son came to his senses, a new belief system came in him. Change the way you think. If you don't think differently, you will not live differently. Ooh, you grab that. If you don't think different, you won't live different. Because what you believe, you will do. So what I believed, I did. You can't do it. I believe I can go anywhere I want. I can do what I want. I believe it. So what happens is we have to get a new belief system inside of me. When I started getting the word in me, my beliefs started to change because I started seeing truth for the first time instead of a lie. Amen? The words, because now I'm born of spirit, I can understand the spirit. And now the words that I didn't understand before, they come off the page. Because why? My spirit man is regenerating, is renewing day by day by day. Can we turn on a little air in here? I am just a little air on this side, please. Jesus' name, for I know it's hot in here. I know I'm preaching under all this, but I'm getting like, it's hot in here now. Well, it's just the Holy Ghost, and it's okay. You see, repentance is this. You need to establish a new belief system. You see, why is this so important? Because victory and defeat always begin in the mind. You take notes today, take this note. Victory or defeat always take place in the mind. You know, you can defeat yourself before you go out today. You can defeat yourself before you even walk out of a building. Why do you think they have pep talks before games to players and coaches, all this? What they do? They get in their head that they can overtake something. See, because why? Because victory and defeat lie here. Listen, you can hear these things right here. It goes to this thought world. I'm going to get into this thought world for just a few moments. This is where I'm just stop right here. Your thought world goes by this, by the five senses that you've already established in your life through experience. Whatever you established in your life already through the five senses, taste, smell, seeing, hearing, that thought world has already been established already. And then the enemy, Satan. Listen out. Let me hear this to you. Hear this. Satan cannot read your mind. He cannot read your mind. He can attack your thoughts. But why? Watching how you speak. He listens very closely how you speak. Oh, Miss Negative Nanny over here. Okay, oh yeah. I'm going to throw some negative. See, he watches your DNA. And he goes, oh yeah. Oh, you like drama, huh? You like drama? I'm going to give you drama. You a drama mama? I'm going to give you drama. Why? Because he listened to you speak. He cannot listen. The devil cannot read your mind. That's a lie. He can attack your thought world. Your mind is like a computer. It only takes in what it's fed. You know what I'm saying? Your mind is a computer. It only takes in what it's fed. You got to start feeding the right stuff. We've been feeding too much junk in the computer, and junk's been coming out. So we have to start reprogramming, rethinking, watching what we say and do, watch the programs that we participate in, watch these things, because why? Any man be in Christ, he becomes a new creation. You have to watch the thought world of seeds, and seeds go in the garden of your mind, And how many times you water it, or cultivate it, it will spring up and birth something. That's why you have to take authority. Listen, as a believer, every day of my life, I have to take, you think the devil aggravates me in the morning by giving me a thought whirl? You think I'm above that because you're a pastor? No. You're more in it than ever now. The Word of God says that I have to demolish the arguments. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we demolish arguments. Where do arguments start? Hey, between your two ears. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody have arguments between your two ears? And you in a car going, I'm having me a conversation with myself. That's me every day. You old devil. Because why? We demolish argument every pretension that seeks itself against the knowledge of God. So when the word is planted in you, and when the devil gives you a word that's opposite of God, you say, wait a minute, that is not the word of God. And then you crush it under his feet. My wife, there's many times she's in the shower, I'm going, who are you arguing with? I'm out there hearing her in the shower, just having her time in the shower. You know, how many know that you can hear from God in the shower? How many times you can hear the enemy also in the shower too sometimes? Your thought world, you're in the shower, you're by yourself, right? I'm hearing her going crazy in the shower one day. I thought she was yelling at me. I said, what did I do? You said, I'm not yelling at you, fool. I'm yelling at the devil. Because he's trying to attack my thoughts right now. And I'm telling him he's a liar. He's under my feet. You see, we're taking authority and making it obedient and capturing the thought before the thought gets out of the pen. You know, when wild horses get out of the pen, you can't hardly get them now. When all these wild stallions jump out the gate, ooh, it's hard to lasso them and bring them back in the gate because they tasted freedom. And the enemy will try to allow you to taste that freedom by having your thought world go out the gates. You have to take authority over that. Let me tell you something. You have to be the head and not the tail. Listen, I know this is a hard swallow here. But you know, if you don't take authority, no one else will. If you don't take authority over something, you can't wait for somebody else to take authority over something. You got to take authority. It's your house. It's your house and your heart. You let it in. I said that I would not come up here. I would stay up here the whole time. Okay, here we go. We demolish every argument. You see, repentance is this. It resolves to change. Repentance is this. It is to cease in all manners of life from being independent from God. When I repent, I gave up my independence, and he became everything. You see, repentance is also accepting the consequences of sin and saying, I'm guilty. Repentance is accepting the consequences or owning up to what I've done wrong. You see, in the garden, let's read this quick. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. And the serpent was shrewder of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. On that day, he asked women, did God really say that you not eat of the fruit of any of the trees of the garden? Of course we can eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman said. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. And God said, you must not eat it or touch it. If you do, you will die. You won't die, the serpent replied to the woman. You won't die. Does God know that your eyes will be opened soon as you eat it, and then you will be like God, knowing both good and evil? And the woman was convinced. The enemy will try to convince you with a lie. He said, and the woman was convinced. We saw the tree was beautiful and its fruit would look delicious. We wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took the fruit and ate it. And she gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. And at that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame in their nakedness. So he sewed fig leaves together to cover them. And when the cool breeze evening came was blowing, the man and wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. In the garden, you can hear him talk and walk with God. I heard his voice. See, in the kingdom, you can hear his voice. And he said, have you eaten from the tree with fruit I commanded you not to eat? And the man, here it is. Now, I'm coming to this thing right now. And the man replied, it was the woman you gave me. It was the woman you gave me. Never owned up to responsibility. Come on. Oh, I'm coming to you right now. I'm about to slam you. The woman you gave me, it was her fault. I'm like I am because it was my mama's fault. Grow up. And I ate it. And the Lord God asked woman, what you have done? The devil did it. Then Satan said, yeah, well, it was those two right there. What you saying, Pastor? I'm saying without true repentance, you always blame somebody else for your life. Whew, it's hot. It's just hot in here. I'm going crazy. It's hot in here. Okay, just me? Thank you, Jesus. All right, just watch the air. I don't want people freezing here. Just me. Don't work off of me. In fact, raise it up a little bit. People got jackets on right now. I'm about to take off things. Here we go. In Jesus' name. No, I better not. In Jesus' name. We want to stay here. That's fine. We go into the blame game of blaming somebody else for our faults. And today, there are people in the church today that have been saved for 5, 10, 15, 25, 35, 40, still blaming somebody for their mistakes. Come on. You can write them down. I can name about 40 of them off the top of my head. Still walking around the mountain. If it wasn't for my first wife, I would be the man who I am today. Well, you've been married 4 times. Guess 4 of them no good. If I had a great job, you had 27 of them. They all failed because the superintendent was always boss over you. No, you had an independent spirit. You see, pride and humility caused Adam not to repent. Pride and humility will cause people not come to the altar when it's an altar call. When you hear, thus saith the word of God, I'm okay, I'm all right, I'm not as bad as him and her. It's an independent spirit. I surprised, 20 years ago, the whole church would have ran to the altar. 20 years ago, the whole church would have ran to the altar. Because why? There was a presence that people did not want to get out. There was a presence. And now we treat the presence like anything else. And we become the place we'll start blaming everybody for our mistakes. See, what made David the man of God, and the man of God. When David messed up, David said it was he who sinned. It wasn't Bathsheba. It wasn't that. I did it. I seen it. I looked upon it, and I did it. Well, I wasn't feeling well that day. No. He said, listen, I repent of what I've done. I take responsibility for what I've done. And if there's consequences in it, God, then so help me, then deal it on. Let's get it on. And by the way, I'm going to truly repent, and to God be the glory that I hope I will never, ever do it again. That's true repentance. We abuse grace today and say, oh, by grace, we are by grace, by grace. He said, but what does Paul say? Should we keep on sinning so that grace would abound more and more? He said, heck no. I don't know if he said heck no, but I'm just going, yeah, heck no. He said, no, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. There's a big difference between counted dead in sin and count yourself dead to sin. And because he didn't repent, he dealt with the consequences. When we don't repent for our actions, we can be dealt the consequences of not repenting. Let's go on and read this. Repentance. Repentance is this: acknowledging of what you did wrong. The prodigal son, he came to his senses. He said, hey, man, what's going on here? He identified it. He didn't put the blame on somebody else. Oh, well, you know, it was this one, it was that one. You know, no, you see, when we come, many people today, we come to the spirit of pride that we can't repent. And I'm going to tell you the spirit of pride is. It's called an unteachable and an independent spirit from God. When we can come to a place we can be outcome unteachable, and we can come to a place where we think we know it all, and we can come to a place where we're so independent we don't need God. Pride's a wicked thing. Pride pushed Adam out of the garden. What makes you think that pride could get you into the garden? Woo! If pride pushed him out, how do you think pride is going to enter you into the kingdom? It says it's acknowledge of sin. It was all with David, well, I just said David a minute ago. He confession of it. And look, there's sorrow for the harm that it has done. That's when you know somebody has godly repentance. They sorrowful for the harm that it did to them, but it harmed that it did other people. That's when you feel a remorse. When you go, oh, Lord, I'm not only sorry for what I've done, I'm sorry for all the people that are hurt in the process. See, the devil will always tell you the pleasure of the sin. He never tells you the consequences of it. Nobody told me the consequence would be 2 years in teen challenge. Nobody told me the consequence would be when my marriage would fall apart and all this would happen because of that one thing. The devil always will tell you the shiny parts of it all, but he never tells you the consequences of it. And Adam, look what happens here. He blames this one, they blame that one. Adam never did repent for what he had done. Nowhere in the Word of God have looked over this. I've asked Brother Anthony, my kingdom teacher. I said, bro, where is it? Nowhere in the Word of God has Adam actually repented for what he had done. And it says this, and to the man he said, since you listened to your wife, let's not go there, and ate from the tree, I'm going to cause a problem here, whose fruit I commanded you to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. Whew. When we don't repent for what we've done, we chose to live outside of the kingdom. See, when I was out in that world, I was operating outside of the kingdom. When he said, Adam, where are you? Adam wasn't hiding so good that the Lord couldn't find him. He said, Adam, where are you? Because you are no longer reflecting the image of who I made you. When we have sin, when we have sin in our life, we tarnish the image of what God made us. And somebody said, where are you? It was like, where is the man that I created? And he said, where are you, Adam? You're not operating in the garden like you should. You're hiding. He said this. All of your life, you will struggle to scratch your living from it, a poverty mentality. Is this hitting home today? I can hear a car in the parking lot. It must be good. By the sweat of your brow, you have to have food to eat until you return back to the ground from which you were made. And for you, where you were made from the dust, and the dust you return. And then the man Adam and his wife Eve, because he would be the mother of all who live, and the Lord God made clothing for them, he had sacrificed, again, blood was shed from skinned animals for Adam and his wife. And the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, both knowing good and evil. For what if they reach out and take the fruit of this tree and eat it? They will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the garden. These things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's the next message. He says, he banished them from the garden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had made. After sending them out, The Lord stationed mighty cherubs, angels with sword, and guarded the garden. Woo! We operate outside of God, outside of the kingdom, and don't have a repentant spirit. It's like an angel drawn with a sword drawn, saying, "You're not coming in." Because repentance leads me to salvation. Without repentance, without being born again, a man can neither see or enter into the kingdom of God. Woo! And I said to myself, if Adam did not repent of his sins and was asked to leave his presence, what do you think man who does not sin, you think he could enter into his presence without repenting? If Adam was thrown out of the garden for pride, which makes you think that you can get into the garden, get into the kingdom? And because he didn't repent, and I'll be honest with you, I'm going to tell you this. I don't even know if Adam is even in heaven. I'll give you more on that in that story. Max, I'm getting Brother Anthony to preach on that one Sunday here. It's amazing because, listen, in Luke chapter 19, there was a little man named Zacchaeus. Jesus was a wee little man, a wee little man was he. And he was a corrupt tax collector and everything, and he climbed up a tree, a sycamore tree. I'm going to do the Bible version in my brain right now. It's Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through like 9 or 10, whatever. And when he seen Jesus, he said, "Come down from that tree, because I want to visit your house." And Zacchaeus said, "Lord, if I've done anybody wrong, I will give back them back four times what I've taken." That's a sign of true repentance. Right? "I will give you back. I will give them back. If I've wronged anybody, done anybody, I will give it back to you. And if I've done this, I will." He said, "Zacchaeus, salvation has truly come to your house today." But he also says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." What the Son of Man came to seek and save? Mankind. Bring him back to the cross. But also to seek and save the authority that God gave Adam to give to you. Man in the garden lost the authority. Jesus Christ had to be the sacrifice. But blood had to be shed. As the Lord shed two animals and skins, blood was shed. Well, blood had to be shed, and that was the cross. I say all this for a reason. Acceptance, repentance. God accepts our repentance, but it doesn't please him. What pleases God is next week's message. Stay tuned to it. I understand this. Pride can keep me from becoming born again. Pride, it's a hard story to swallow, that story I just gave you. But when Adam had a chance, he could have repented, and I think everything would have been taken care of right then and there. But when he decided to blame somebody else for a mistake and blame this one, there was no godly sorrow, because godly sorrow leads to what? Repentance. See, it was his godly sorrow that led me to repentance. See, without repentance, we can't even become born again. And it's, Jesus says, without being born again, a man can't even enter into the kingdom of God. That's why the word of God said, we said last week, "For he rescued me out of darkness." I was in a dark kingdom. I was in hand of Satan. I was in his kingdom. And he said, when I repented and gave my heart to Jesus Christ and gave my life and surrendered at the cross, there was a transference. I went from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Well, I couldn't even experience that kingdom until I repented of myself. That was a lot to swallow in one service. But here it is. God wants you today to have authority in your life. God wants you to have control of things in your life. You see, you don't have to wait to heaven to get the victory. You can have the victory now. And many people go, well, I'll have my day in heaven. Wait a minute. No. God wants you to rule and reign now. For I am more than a conqueror. Romans what? 8:37? I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. I am more than a conqueror. The same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of me. But is he living inside of you? When he said to Zacchaeus, today I'm coming to visit your house. Who's talking about your house? He's talking about come to visit your heart today. I've come to visit your house, your heart. Will you let me in? I stand at the door and knock at your heart, but only you can let me in. Because if I didn't, I would be a thief or a robber, but I'm not that. You see, the Holy Spirit has to cause this conviction inside of you. And when a person comes to true repentance, there's a changed life. Thank you. It must be me. I'm like, is there a changed life in Christ? Have you became born again? We're going to have an altar call. Then we're going to flip the service around. We're going to do our offering, and we're going to do this and that. Then we're going to go out with a song. We're just going to flip it today. Amen? Father, I thank you for this word today that I'm about to do in. But Lord, the word repentance is this. I acknowledge what I've done wrong, and I know it's me. I take full responsibility. That's true repentance. True repentance is when, Lord, I understand what I did. I know the consequences of it. I'm aware of it. But you know what? I'm also ashamed of what it did to me, but I also am ashamed of what it did to everybody else. So, Lord, today, I want everybody to leave, everybody in their seats today. Nobody leaving yet. It's only 11:45. I'm looking for someone today. I say, Pastor, I need to become born again today. I need to become born again today. I can't even enter. And what I heard the message this morning is I can't even enter the kingdom until I come to repentance. I can't even see the kingdom until I come into repentance. Without man repenting, he cannot even enter in to the kingdom. Therefore, if he can't enter into it, he shall not inherit it. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, come to a place right now saying, Lord, listen, I'm not going to beg for an altar call. We're not in the begging business. The Lord, he's talking to me. That pastor's talking to me today. That pastor's talking to me. I can't blame my life on everybody else. But you know what? I made those choices. It was me. It was the kingdom of self. Self got in the way. Self. If that's you today, the sound of my voice, I want you to stand up where you're at. I want you to come on to the front. That's you this morning. I want you to come up, stand up where you're at, because come up to the front today. I want to make sure everybody's been born again today. If this word penetrated your heart this morning, and you say, Pastor, I need to come to that place. How about you, brother? How about you over here? Here. Here. You gotta lose. Come on. Anybody here? Anybody here? Anybody here? Come on. Raise the air up over here. Raise the air up. Just leave. Raise the air up. You were like looking at me like gaze, brother. You were like, come on, Pastor. Come on, man. I see it in you, man. Keep it in you, brother. It's in you. Come on, I see it in you, man. I see it in you. Come on. I see it in you, man. I see it in you. You're sitting there looking at me. You're like, Lord said, just call him out. Come on.